Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, I can't tell if I'm on the air or not. I didn't hear any music go on. That was weird. Hi, well, you're listening to Comedy Concepts on Blog Talk Radio. Boy, was that strange. Betty Jo, can you hear me? I see you're in the chat room. Let me know. Okay, that was strange. There was no opening music. Oh, it's going to be that kind of a show, I suppose. Let's have a little Carozza from his CD, Zesty, to start us off.
After Mass, just last Sunday, my sweetie pie and I went out to eat. We each ordered a pierogi, four potatoes, two cheese, and two meat. Hers was gone within an instant. I had eaten six and still had two. Her eyes were full of love and hunger. My ten pierogi girl, she's twice the girl that she once was. I had two surviving pierogies on my dish, wearing cute little onions like a vest. It looked better than I could ever wish, and could lead to cardiac arrest. My mouth was drooling and my taste buds were bursting from the smell of pork. But my baby yearned for my two pierogies, so I pushed them on her plate with my fork. She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, my Polish ray of hope, a living dream. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, she goes good with a spoon of sour cream. She smiled when she finished, what a date. Lots of love went into that meal. Our hearts and our stomachs did inflate, and the gravy on my shirt did congeal. Don't be stingy when it comes to your loved ones. Give them everything you've got without fear. Laugh and give thanks that you found her while you watch your pierogies disappear. My ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, she eats them fast and doesn't ever gag. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, I'll never need a doggy bag. I'll never need a doggy bag.
A few years ago, this movie came out and it really upset me. It was based on this true story about this rugby team that crashed in the Andes along with their family, friends, and college roommates. What really bothered me was the dilemma they faced when they ran out of food, and it didn't look like anyone was going to find them. So they had to make what was probably the most gut-wrenching decision of their lives, which was to eat the dead. Oh, what a decision to have to make. And if that weren't heinous enough, who would you eat first? Family? Friends? In what order? Dad? Mom? Sis? In what part? Ugh! Just picturing the process upsets me. Well, many therapy sessions later, and soon after my therapist disconnected his phone and moved away without telling me, a cab driver reminded me that blood is thicker than water and Tiping is not a town in China. Well, logic dictates, okay, not everybody's logic but mine, the first course should be your best friend or college roommate. With that in mind, I composed a little ditty, which should they ever do a musical version of the movie Alive, I want the producers to feel free to put this song anywhere in there. And I would like to preface this by saying, this song is in every way in bad taste. I ate my best friend's brain today, I baked it in the sun. She said that she had all the brains, now I have more than one. La-di-da, la-di-da. She wasn't really a great friend. Never would she backward bend or go out of her way to lend me her pay. So I ate my best friend's brain. La-dee-da, la-dee-da. I don't know what a best friend is. Should be something more. A friend would let you eat her brain when you're not near a store. La-dee-da, la-dee-da. We went to the same school, lived in the same dorm. When she bought me a beer, but the beer was warm. So I ate my best friend's brain. La-dee-da, la-dee-da. And when the plane crashed in the snow, for her it was the end. She was always more cerebral, so I cracked open her cranium. I made a frittata of her medulla oblongata. My leg was broke, but I didn't choke when I ate my best friend's brain. La-dee-da, la-dee-da. When I ate my best friend's brain.
Always fun here, always fun. Refreshing my, my chat room. Where did it go? It just gives me trouble. Anyway, I'll start another chat, and then we'll see. I know who I left off having in the house. We have Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday, 4 p.m. And who... I feel like now I'm doing Lizette on the George Benninger Show. I see, from Romper Room, I see Kelly Bennett new to the house. Great, Kelly. We have a guest, mystery guest, 253, and Betty Jo Tucker every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Who are you going to have on this week, Betty? Post it up there. Richard B. Smart. He be smart. He be real smart. I think that's Wacko Bob. And they're going to put up their sites, too, but their shows every day, I think 7 days a week practically. Which is pretty, pretty darn cool. Pretty darn cool. And that's great, great day of weather where I'm at. If you're in the south somewhere, I'm sorry. That is misery what's going on down there. And that's not fun, but it's always fun. I've got some new pieces for you today. Let me try and find them. And we'll proceed from there. Who else do I have there? Okay, all right. Hello, Lizette, yes, Lizette, I don't think they're in the house, I don't think they're in the house yet, but they're bustling around, I'm sure, getting ready for the George Benninger Show, the Mom and Pop Shop, every day at 4 p.m., you'll hear George Benninger doing his wackiness, and we love that George Benninger Show, and where he finds those songs, such unusual songs, too, from everywhere, and why don't we do a little George Benninger comedy?
George Bettinger's Mom and Pop Shop. Can I help you?
Georgie, you must help me.
Count Dracula.
Help me, Georgie.
What is it, Drac?
I must have the record I ordered. I'll go bats if I don't get it now.
Oh, well, let's see, Count. I have a whole bunch of records that just came in. You know, I've been getting a lot of orders. Let's see. Is it Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba?
No, that's not it.
No, it's not that. How about No Money, No Problem by Feet, Puff, Daddy, and Mace? Not that either. Okay, Drek, wait. I have one more here. Ah, here it is. I'm in the Mood for Blood by the Plasmatics.
Yes, yes, that's it. I'm in the Mood for Blood simply because you're near me.
Well, come on down, Count. It's waiting for you. It's right here in the store.
George, I can't come now. The sun, you know.
Well, wear a block.
Hello, Raiden, Georgie. I need more bazooka with the comic in the middle.
Hey, Jerome, would you like to make a delivery for me?
Oh, joy, it would be a pleasure. I mean, I'd proudly go.
Count, you'll have it there in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Georgie. Let's go out for a bite.
Jerome, take this record to Count Dracula's castle.
I'll run right away. I'll be happy. Count Dracula, you mean the monster with the scary point with the cape? Boy, I don't...
Jerome, if you do this for me, I'll give you a dozen bazookas on the house.
Hello, I'm here to see the Count Reitenheimenstein. Oh, please come in. I'll show you to the Count right now.
Ah, Jerome, what brings you here?
A bicycle, but I left it outside. Yeah. I brought you the record album disc type thing you wanted.
Ah, wonderful. Here, Igor. Go put it on the turntable.
Boy, what a castle-type house. Look at this. Wow, what a place here.
These are all priceless antiques, Jerome. They have been in my family for 50 generations. Hey, Jerome, what are you doing?
Look, Drek, this will be the biggest bubble, the biggest, largest mammal baby you've ever seen.
No, wait, my crystal, my bric-a-brac, my wedge wood. Wait a minute. Oh, Jerome, you had me scared.
I scared you, Mason Hyman. Don't be a nervous, Drek. I'm a professional. Imagine a spooky guy like that being frightened by me. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to say goodbye.
Oi, hey. That kid gets no tip.
Help me.
Igor, stop playing now.
Anymore. Come on. Are you in here? Anyone in here? Hello?
Dripping my throat and squeezing it. Tina Carosa, former disco queen. By the way, disco's not dead. It's just taking a very, very, very long nap. She's the disco queen. If you know what I mean, I don't know. I just dance it. I don't sing it. Ah, you people. Well, what the heck? A disco queen is a disco queen. So, I'm here today to say very strange things have been happening in my area. Very strange things. Yes, recently I have been invaded by pests. Not your ordinary pests, no. No, these pests are far more pestilent. They are alien children. They've been running all around my yard, popping up in strange places, all in all just haunting me and haunting me. It's been a very frightening experience. How can I explain it? I don't know. I'm just a disco queen. What can I say? So hopefully these pests won't pop up anytime soon. I what was that? That was the scariest thing I ever saw. My heart is still beating. Pump, 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 pump. This shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a nice lady. I buy Girl Scout cookies. What was that? Bad that they're just alien children. They're also monsters, too. I can't even describe it to you. It's just the most disgusting. They're coming! They're coming! Run away! Run away!
On YouTube if you want. It's called No Country for Old Disco Queens. Anyway, we're having fun here. Fun here, fun. Lighten up my screen here. We got Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. She has some Hollywood big shots on that show. Well worth listening to and very fascinating and informative. You can also read her blogs as well and her reviews if you're thinking of seeing a movie. We got George Bettinger in the house. Georgie Bettinger. Every day at 4 p.m. it's George Bettinger in the Mom and Pop Shop at hotmix106.com. hotmix106.com. If you Facebook the Mom and Pop Shop, then you could join the chat while the show's going on, and you'll be kind of part of the show, which is always good. We'd like to welcome Ginger310. Hello, Ginger. Hello, Ginger. I just like doing Katherine Hepburn. Sadly, all these young kids will never know who she is. Kelly Bennett in the house. I like your spelling. It's very unusual. Richard B. Smart, okay, and T.L. Walker, and Wacko Rob, not Wacko Bob Show. The Wacko Bob Show every day practically, I think at 10, Monday through Thursdays, and I think Fridays through Saturdays, a different time. Dishing Tea with Big Mech. Big Mech. Follow me and I'll follow you because it's easier so I don't have to get out of the chat room. And you were talking about comedy earlier, and let me see if I can find a little something Alan Zweibel said about writing comedy. Alan Zweibel.
What I used to do was something that I made up myself. I knew that I wanted to write scripts one day.
Right.
So I used to wake up on a Monday morning, let's say, and go, all right, this week the subject will be buying a car.
Okay.
Monday I would write a monologue as if Jack Benny was delivering a monologue about buying a car.
Oh, how great.
Tuesday, as if Joan Rivers was delivering a monologue about driving a car. Wednesday, Rodney Dangerfield. Thursday, Richard Pryor. And Friday, Alan Kink, okay?
And this was when you were very young?
I was 21.
Right.
Okay. At the end of the week, I had 5 monologues about buying a car, but each one with a different sensibility.
Right.
Each one sounded different about the same subject because I knew I wanted to write scripts one day, and I didn't want everybody sounding the same.
Oh, how interesting.
So I try to train the ear that way.
Right.
You know? TV shows, maybe more so today than it was when I was starting out, okay, they're very much star-driven, and a lot of these stars, and you go over the last 10, 15 years, beginning with, not beginning with, but including Gary Shandling and Tim Allen and Jerry Seinfeld and people who've got their own shows, you know, stand-ups, that shows were built around them and their persona. If a writer who's just starting out hangs out at the clubs, you know, and befriends somebody who makes them laugh and vice versa, can start furnishing that part, you know, start with material, and
right,
they can start developing a relationship, and everybody gets a turn, it seems. It seems like everybody gets a shot, and the hope would be is when the person you're writing with or writing for gets a shot, you go along for that ride, and you see how far it takes you.
Right.
You know, so that's still a very, very viable way to break in.
And now some more of Alan Zweibel, The History of Me.
I wanted to be a comedy writer. I always did ever since I was a little boy growing up on Long Island. But I was in college and there was no courses. There was no curriculum. There was no way. There was no road to take to become a comedy writer. So I figured, gee, maybe I'll become a lawyer, have something to fall back on. And my grades were okay, but they made me take this test, the law boards, the LSATs. Are you familiar with this test? Which was, they're graded from 200 to 800. If you can write your name, you get a 200. If you're Albert Einstein, you get an 800. If you're me, I got a 390, which reclassified me as a mineral, like right away. And I got a 390. I went home to Long Island, told my Jewish parents that I got a 390 on the law boards. And about a week later, this is after they uncovered the mirrors, and and got up from those wooden boxes that they had brought in. My father handed me $1,000, which I then handed to a guy named Stanley Kaplan. You know this guy? He's all over. He's got these schools where they teach you how to prepare to take standardized tests. And for 6 months, $1,000, 6 months, I'm there with the earphones on and the number two pencils and taking the old tests and just really focusing on retaking the law boards, which I did 6 months later, where my score catapulted up to a 401. So I figured at that rate, I'd be 90 and my father would be broke by the time I got into an English-speaking law school. So I started writing jokes for Catskill comedians, old comedians who were working the Borscht Belt, the Jewish Alps, called the Catskill Mountains. The Catskill Mountains in the 50s and the 60s were the spawning ground for comedians. I wrote for every Morty, Dickie, Freddie, and Lee that ever lived, okay? I'm 21, they're 50 years old, and they're paying me $7 a joke. That was the rate that I got, $7 a joke. And some of them were just real pains in the ass about it because they'd only pay me if the joke got a laugh. Yeah, so what I would do is I would get in my parents' car on a Friday or Saturday night, drive from Long Island up to the Catskill Mountains, to the Concord Hotel, to the Neverly, Grossinger's, wherever it was. I'd sit in the back of the room, and I'd listen to my jokes being told. And then one of the comedian would come off the stage, and he'd come up to me and he says, boy, you know, that joke about paving the driveway really didn't get a laugh. And I said, gee, I heard a laugh. And then we would bargain, and I'd go home with $4, you know. So, you know, I was 21, they're 50. You know, it was like writing for my parents' friends. And there's different sensibilities, and I really didn't want to write for them, but these were the only people that I knew. And I looked around and go, no, I got to change something here. I got to change. And what I did was, there were two clubs in New York at the time. This is in the mid-70s now. It's a Catch a Rising Star and the Improvisation. There were two showcases where the newer breed of comedians at the time were coming through. So what I did was I took all the jokes that these older guys wouldn't buy from me, and I made it up into a stand-up comedy act for myself. And I went to the club, and my plan was to go on stage, deliver the jokes, with the hopes that a manager, an agent, a TV executive, all of whom were hanging out at these clubs now, would like the material and give me a job. The first week that I'm there, I met a guy who was also starting out. His name is Billy Crystal. And he was starting, and we became fast friends. I lived in Woodmere, Long Island with my parents, and he lived in Long Beach, Long Island with his wife and kid. He's more mature than I am, okay? And every night he would take his little blue Volkswagen and pick me up at my parents. By the way, in case it ever comes up in conversation, this is the international symbol for little blue Volkswagen, okay? He would pick me up at my parents' house. We'd go into the city, tell our jokes, and then he would take me home. About 4 months into this experiment, I'm on stage about 1 o'clock in the morning, having the hardest time in the world making these six drunks from Des Moines laugh. I get off the stage, and I'm really upset. It was horrible. I go over to the bar, and I'm hanging my head and waiting for Billy to get done so I can get a ride home. When a guy comes and he sits down next to me and just starts staring at me and staring at me, and finally I go, what? He goes, you know, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life. I said, I know. Why rub this in like this? What are you doing? He said, well, your material's not bad. Did you write it? I said, yeah. He said, can I see more of it? I said, you bet. I didn't even ask who it was at first because I would have shown it to like a gardener at this point, okay? Ends up, this guy is Lorne Michaels.
Isn't that a great story? Alan Seibel, he is such a nice man. He's got a book out now called Lunatics. You want to check that out because it's with Dave Barry and it's being made into a movie. There you go, Betty Jo. Did you know that? Betty Jo from Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Next Tuesday, she's going to let us know who's going to be on there. Big Mech. I hope that was the only way I could say it. That helped you. That was funny, his parents sitting shiva. And let's see, who do we have? Oh, the Wacko Bob show's in the house. T.L. Walker, always a sweetie. Kelly Bennett, new to the room. Ginger. In the chat room, for those of you who don't know, if you're listening, you can go to BTR Radio, join, and join the chat room. Now, is someone calling in? Or I'm always suspicious of that. Oh, I'll see. Shall we take the call, people? Anybody of you calling in? I don't know. All right, shall we take a chance? Shall we take a chance on this? And let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. How are you, darling?
I'm good.
How are you, bad girlfriend? I said, oh, man, I'm not like George Bettinger. I don't have a million voices. I just have the Mae West one or a little kid one. But I figured I would call in and chat to my good friend Nancy Lombardo, who always has a fantastic show.
The chat room just went, Fran!
yeah. All right, I got to give up with a different impression.
You got to have 1,000 voices like me and George.
Exactly. And I'll leave that to you. I just have the one fast voice to catch up with you. Yeah.
Everyone who's listening, our surprise guest of the day is Fran Capo, the amazing world record holder for everything.
That's it. I don't hold a specific record. It's just a record for everything.
Everything. She's done it. www.francapo.com. And Fran Capo's got a new show she's doing. You want to tell us about that, Fran?
Yes. Actually, it's only my seventh show. It's a live interactive chat show, and it's on Kundu, which is a weird word, but it's from Australia. What do you expect? KONDOOT.com. /Fran Capo, kundu.com/Fran Capo, and that's on every Monday from 5:30.
Spell it again for me. I'm going to put it in the chat room.
KONDOOT.com/Fran Capo, and that's on Mondays from 5:30 to 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And so I'm on, they could see me visually, but then they write in the chat and I could interact with them and chat. But usually what I do is I start out by telling them what's happened for the week, you know, whatever humorous, funny story might be happening, and then give bizarre facts. And then I also give motivation, and then I answer whatever questions that people have. It's a half hour, it goes by quickly. I always look up and I'm like, how is it already 5:59? You know?
Actually, like, if you go, slow down, Fran. If you go there, if you go to Kundut, what you want to do is when you get there, you want to join it. So that way you can join the chat room and Fran can answer your questions while she's on air. So join her and follow her, and then you'll also be notified when her shows are going to be. Now, you can also go to www.francapo.com, and I don't know if you were listening earlier. I somehow got on a mystery bent and played George Bettinger's Dracula, and then I played some spooky, we were doing spooky stuff. Fran has written some great, great books. My favorite, of course, It Happened in New York City. I love that one, and It Happened in New York, but you've written some spooky books too. Tell us about that.
A Good Day New York with them. I was on Myths and Mysteries of New York and Myths and Mysteries of New Jersey. And what it is things that people don't even know, you know, lying around locally in their neighborhood. Like, for example, the most haunted street in New Jersey is a street called Gully Road. It literally is across the street from the police station. The police didn't even know about it. And, of course, I had to go take a picture for the book, and I'm like, excuse me, I know this is a weird question. It's a little strange request than all the police go for their gun hold. I'm like, no, nothing like that. Just want you to know. I'm like the fast talker. They're looking it up on their computer to check my ID, my verification. I go, all right, now that you know I'm really a fast talker, I'm a writer. Turns out across the street is the most haunted street in New Jersey. I don't know if you guys have been aware of it. And I'm looking for a witch's grave. And they're all looking, and one guy goes to the hey, Sarge, you like all that. Isn't your wife a witch? And he's like, why don't you help the girl out? So the next thing I know, me and my assistant, Dale, who a lot of people know Dale. He's been on my show. He's helped take pictures.
Yes.
And they have us. The guy goes, all right, get in the back of the cop car. I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know if this is a good thing. He goes, don't worry, you're not being handcuffed. Sticks us in the back of the cop car, drives us to the local cemetery, which was right across the street also, gets us in. Now, the cop is perusing the cemetery with us while we're sticking flashlights trying to look for the witch's grave. And he goes, listen, I got to go take a call. You guys stay in here. If you get locked in, call me, and I'll come with my cutters, and I'll let you out of the cemetery. I'm like, all right, that's it, right? We don't need to have that happen. I said, we'll just stay to closing. And they had this big bell that looked like one of those Hunchback of Notre Dame bells. So he says, why don't you ring the bell? So me and Dale are now jumping on the bell and ringing it like you see in those old-time movies with the kids going up and down to try to get the guy to come out to help us look for the witch's grave. Nobody comes out. And, of course, I'm thinking, damn, I hope this doesn't, like, raise the dead, you know? So now we're looking. We can't find it. And my son was there also. And this was all for a story that we were doing about the haunted roads of, you know, Gully Road. And my son had come with us. And this was in, like, pretty much the dead of winter because the book was due and I had to do the research then. So there was no snow on the ground, but it was cold. It was 10 degrees, so it was freezing out. And while we're looking for this witch's grave, because, you know, a cemetery's not small, and you're looking around for a grave, you don't know where exactly she's buried, my son loses his cell phone. And in the process, Now we're trying to call the cell phone, listen in the graveyard if the cell phone's ringing. We can't hear the cell phone. And so now it's starting to get dark. And I'm like, Spence, you know what? I had to go away. I said, you know, after I come back from my trip, we'll come back. We'll look in the graveyard. We leave a note at the door, you know, for the whatever, the graveyard attendant, whatever they call those people. And we're like, okay, if you find a cell phone, please call this number. Nobody calls. My son decides to go back to that cemetery with two of his friends, and he decides to do it military style. They have three walkie-talkies, and they spread out 10 feet apart. They take 10 feet, and they go, do you see anything? Do you see anything? No. Okay, walk 10 more feet. Do you see anything? Do you see anything? No. So they do this, and they're there for like 4 hours trying to look for a cell phone, and because it had all his contact information and everything in it. And now it starts getting dark. Now, one of the ghosts, supposedly, besides the witch that was in this area on Gully Road, was this one that was a Haitian soldier who liked to play pranks on people. And they said that there were many reports of this guy, you know, tapping people on the shoulder, playing pranks, all these different things. So they're in the graveyard. They're looking for the cell phone. They're looking all around. They get to the part of the cemetery that is the oldest part of that cemetery. And what happens is the walkie-talkies start acting really weird. So they start turning on. So Spence is like, Mike, did you call me? And he's like, no, I thought you called me. And then he was like, Noelia, did you call? No, I thought you called me. They start feeling tappings on their shoulders. So oh. They're like, cut it out, guys. Then they're like, but nobody's near them. So they get to the old part of the cemetery, and they're looking for the phone. They can't find anything. And Spencer says he feels like a weird energy, like he's not as sensitive or anything. Like Nancy is a sensitive. I don't know if people know that, but Nancy's a sensitive. What they mean, meaning not sensitive like she cries all the time, but sensitive that she senses energies, although she's very sweet and a great friend, so she's sensitive that way too. But that's not what I'm talking about. But anyway, so what happens is Spencer is in the place. So he says, you know what, because now it's nighttime. Now it's, you know, they stayed there till midnight. I mean, they were there for like 11 hours looking for this phone. And now Spencer says, we'll take some pictures. They take a picture everywhere. Like, they take a picture. They look at the picture in the digital camera. And Mike goes, Spencer, look up. There's like a circle above you. He would look up. They'd snap another picture. Now the circle was to the right. Spencer looked to the right. Now, if anybody knows in studying ghosts, these are known as orbs. So it started with one. We have the pictures of all of them. One orb above his head, then another one to the left, then another one to the right, then another one. And then all of a sudden, there were like four or five orbs. Then they decide, okay, this is getting creepy. We're going to leave. And the walkie-talkie turns on, right? And so Spencer gets not a message over the walkie-talkie. He doesn't get that. But he gets this thing that just in his head says, turn around. And his walkie-talkie is sitting on his cell phone is sitting on top of a tombstone.
What's that turn around?
Nothing said turn around. Inside Spencer's head. Like he had this feeling like turn around.
Oh.
Yeah. Nothing said turn around. He just said he's got this instinct to turn around, and his cell phone was sitting right on top of the tombstone next to him.
Whoa. How is that for our spooky theme today with Fran Capo?
There you go.
That's a great story.
And that's one of the backstories I have written up in the beginning of Myths and Mysteries in New Jersey, because I tell the stories of the actual place, but in the beginning of the book, I tell the backstory of how I found out the information for that place.
That is so funny. And Fran Capo is also, how many books have you written? 17? 18?
17. And my 18th book, Hopeville, The City of Light, is going to come out in CD form in the next month and a half.
Wow. You can just go to her site and order. Oh, one of my guests, let me see if they're still there. Big Mech, you were asking about writing comedy. Fran Capo also has a book out on how to write comedy. So go to FranCapo.com, and you were asking, if someone wants to write comedy, they have another radio show on.
Oh,
and if you go to FranCapo.com, you can get her book on how to write comedy. And
which
even
is called Humor and Business Speaking in Everyday Life, and it gives you all the principles of how to set up jokes, how to write it for the different occasions, how to have material to use in case something goes wrong. All that is there, and it's in my bookstore on my website.
Yeah, I have that book. I brought it out here. I was going to reread it again because I just found it fascinating and inspiring.
And it's not just
for comedians. It's also for anyone. If you have a radio show, this is good because it tells you how to speak and set things up and be comfortable. And also, if you do a lot of public speaking or you're about to do public speaking, this is a great book to get. Say that name again.
It's called Humor in Business, Speaking in Everyday Life. And I want to say that I am very honored that of all people, Nancy has read it. Because I don't know if you guys know that Nancy has done a lot of what they call ghostwriting, speaking of mystery themes here. Nancy has done a lot of ghostwriting for television shows and for Broadway plays and for one person shows and one man, one woman shows, whatever, and that people don't even know, and they have been hit shows. But because Nancy's a ghostwriter, she's not allowed to say which shows. I happen to know some because I casually, you know, did some research and happened to stumble across it. Not because Nancy broke her word and told me. And but you didn't know about that. And I do want to thank George Bettinger because I am packing all day today. And George said, by the way, Nancy's on the air. Here's her link if you want to go on there.
He's
and
the best,
so,
George Bettinger, every day at 4 p.m. on the Mom and Pop Shop. Hey, everybody, Facebook Fran, too, because she also lets you know what's going on. And sometimes Fran has these great events that she does seminars at. And if you ever get a chance to take a Fran Capo seminar, do not miss it. It is such a great experience.
Well,
and you might
actually
be breaking a world record while you're doing it.
You never know, because look, at my last birthday party, I had someone over, my friend Carson Tang, teaching people how to eat fire. Carson and Glenn were teaching people how to eat fire. And speaking of seminars, I have two things coming up back-to-back. On September 14th, I run comedy. Nancy knows this because she actually performed at my club called Piazza Roma. It's up in Westchester. And
great crowd.
And Nancy, they loved Nancy. She did her nun impression, and they were hysterical. So on September 14th, I'll be performing at Piazza Roma. You could just look that up, Piazza Roma in Cortland Manor. And that show starts at 7 o'clock. And dinner starts at 7, shows at 8:30, Piazza Roma. And then on the Saturday, the 15th, I'm at festivalforchange.com, and I am one of the speakers speaking about creativity and marketing.
Wow, that is – it's terrific. And that's good for anybody on any level. Big Mock, I don't know where you're located, but definitely go to Fran's site, and you could check out where she's going to be next. And everybody Facebook each other. Oh, hey, listen, May – Mayumi, I wish you would just use your real name. I can't say your name because it's not good. Comedian I know, Mayumi Nobitsu, is in Melbourne. She's listening in, and she was a former comedy student of mine. Mayumi, buy Fran's book. Okay, I'm calling you Mayumi. Of course I am. She's in the chat room. Say the name of your book again, Fran.
It's
comedy
called
book?
Humor in Business, Speaking in Everyday Life. So it teaches you how to, if you're doing a business event, because the reason I focused on that, because there's a lot more money in that than stand-up. But it's the same principles, and it talks about how to construct a joke, how to write a joke for different occasions, how to tailor information for a particular gig if you're doing a private party, how to make it for that particular event. It talks about how to use funny words as opposed to other words, how to get to the crux of a story.
Yeah,
so it's interesting.
I love it. And I'm rereading it now because whenever I get stuck, that's what I do. I go, well, who inspires me? So I pick up a Fran Capo book.
Aww.
And then I go, then I'm back on track. I started, this is a true story, everyone. So I was stuck because I'm rewriting my one-woman show, and I wanted to rewrite it. So I got a breakaway from it. And I pick up Fran's book, and I go to any page because I've already read it. And I just said, let me see what she's saying here. And I go, yes, now I know what I'm going to do. And it has nothing to do with what, like there, I just get inspired. And so Mayumi, get, and Big Mock, get the books. Everyone, post your shows again. Post them in the chat room. I just posted your site for you, Fran.
Thanks, because I'm not in the chat room. That's why I actually called, because I can't figure out how to get into your chat room. So
every time I take a chance on that because I never know. I got like one crazy guy who calls sometimes, but everybody else is pretty normal. I got to mention, hey, here's another show you should call into sometime. They're on every morning, Fran. They're called Wacko Bob. And the Wacko Bob Show every morning.
Is that Bob Piva?
No, it's Richard. It's a couple of guys. One of them's from Australia. Is that you, Richard? Are you the one from Australia down there? down the my big koala bear down under, and Fast Eddie, and these guys. It's called Wacko Bob, and they have call-ins, but you should definitely tell them what you're doing.
Well, I'll have to let you know my little secret. I, for some reason, am really bad getting on to different things, but George Bettinger, like, he'll go, Fran, you want to join the chat? And he sends me the link. I go, George, if I'm at my computer and I see the link, I'll do it. Because that, for me, I sit there for, I don't know why, 20 minutes, like, how do I get into George's show, Mom and Pop Shop? Damn it, no, that's not the way. How do
I know.
And
listen, so, George, if you're listening, because I do the same thing every day, there's got to be an easier way to get in. It takes me 10 minutes. If he just posts that link for me, I can click on that link and I'm in. But now I got to go. I got to look it up on the internet.
Right, exactly. And then, but he just did that for me, for you just now. He said, by the way, France, Nancy's on the air. Here's her link. So that's why in 2 seconds I did it, because he posted your link. And as long as I have the link, I go.
There's a trick to that, too. If you go to my Comedy Concepts page, it'll say click reminder, and that will remind you. You'll be sent a notice that my show's about to start. So if you go to that Facebook page, everyone is listening, my Comedy Concepts page, it has reminder. Do you want to be reminded when this show starts? And it'll email you and tell you the show's about to start in an hour or whatever. So that's another quick way to do that. But George Bettinger, yes, it takes forever to get into your show because you have to click on, then I got to go to iMusic or iTunes to get into the show. But if he just posts that site every day, I'm on in 10 minutes.
Yeah, George, just do that. And also, George is going to be doing something with his mom and pop shop to save the mom and pop shop show because he's going to be doing like a fundraiser. So we're going to be working on that. He'll be talking more about that a little bit later. We just started talking about that now. So we're going to be doing, you know, George will mention more about that. We literally started talking about it today. I might have jumped the gun in saying it, but
I'm in.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, we're in. We're in.
Definitely. Yeah. I love the mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
And actually, that's their Facebook. If you want to Facebook friend them, everybody. I got a lot of people in the chat room today. This is like, I got to scroll down. There's so many. And if you want to save them, just do that. Oh, look, I have in my chat room, they're making friends. Mayumi just made Cheese in Melbourne and Richard B. Smart's in Sydney. That's terrific. Oh, you're in Sydney? Richard, I have a friend performing near there somewhere. His name is Dave Rosner. If you go his Facebook page, he'll tell you where he's doing some comedy. Check him out.
Well, see, it's funny, too, because I love Australia. Besides the fact that I've been there and just love the country, when I did the went to Antarctica, everybody on that ship, except for myself and my friend George, who's a TV host, George Karunas, who does Angry Planet. George and I are the only two non-Australians. He was from Canada, I was from America, and then we had all the Australians, and they were like, they were ranking on, you know, they were joking with us, but they were ranking on. I was like, okay, and then they made me taste whatever that food is that you guys love in Australia that we hate, but it's apparently the food that you guys eat every morning for breakfast. It's like a spread. And they kept saying, try it.
God-awful stuff. It's like a syrupy thing?
Yeah. I mean, They don't like our peanut butter. I think it's the peanut butter vows they don't like. And then I tasted that thing, and I was like, you eat this every day? They go, yes, on bread and butter. It's delicious. I'm like, oh, my Lord. But that Kunduz show does originate out of Australia. So if they could come on Kunduz on Monday, I would love to have Australians.
Hey, yeah, okay, so Wacko Bob or Richard or Fast Eddie, did you get all that, what Fran Capel just said? Come. The show's out of Australia itself, so why don't you guys go on there, join the chat room.
And then I could introduce my people to them, and then my people will know about their show.
There you go. Look at that. Then she gets her Australian listeners in on it.
And you get the American listeners.
So here's where we got listening from. I'm in the chat room here. We've got Yes, Ohio, Mayumi means good afternoon in Japanese. Thank you. We've got Ohio listening. We've got Sydney, Australia listening. We've got Port Charlotte, Florida listening. We had Betty Jo Tucker, and I know she's Pueblo, Colorado. And who we Karenak. Oh, Karenak. Oh, I'm going to try and play your song, Karenak. She's one of George's friends. It's downloading now. If it downloads by the end of the show, I'll play it. If not, I'll play it on the next show. Let me see.
Cool.
It's still downloading, a friend of George. And who else do we have? We got all over the world. Let's see. Ginger, I don't know where you're from. She's listening. Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, Atlanta, Georgia. And then somewhere in Florida is George Bettinger.
Yes, in Hollywood. I think
Hollywood.
He's in Hollywood, Florida.
I always knew he'd make it to Hollywood, Fran.
Yeah, exactly. And he did. And he lives there. Yeah.
And he did. Fran Capo's site is www.francapo.com. She's got, if you've got any gifts coming up, all of her books are fascinating. She's got self-help tapes, CDs, tapes. Look at me, tapes.
Hey, listen, instead of Halloween candy, why don't you get him a Halloween book? That would be good.
A Halloween book to do a reading of. You can read from it. Fran, do you have any of those scheduled?
Not yet. Oh, no, what am I saying? I actually do. Wait a minute. See,
I am psychic.
You are psychic because I'm thinking, no, I don't. But how does Nancy know? That's right. She's a sensitive. She knows that stuff. I actually do. I have my reading is scheduled October 25th at the Ossining Library.
I know these things. And Ossining has the, don't they have the haunted prison up there?
Ossining has Sing Sing. That's where the word Sing Sing came from.
Yes.
From Ossining. Yes. Sing
and
Sing.
That's the haunted prison too, right? That's
well, I guess the people that live there think so. Yeah. Yeah.
They do think that. So Kundot, KONDOOT.
.com.
.com. That slashy thing, Fran Capo.
Or, you know what, if they go to FranCapo.com on the homepage, it actually says, join Fran every Monday on her Kundut show.
On her Kundut show. And, yeah, so you get to hear Fran. What a great
they
surprise.
They get to see me, actually. They get to
yes.
see me.
We are surprised. And you can hear about her going to the Titanic. Oh, I just love reading it. You should just transcribe your website into a book and be done with it. I'm telling you, Fran, all of that that's on your website is I got to go. It's like I get on your website and I start reading one thing that you've done, and I'm like, oh, I've got to stop. I got things to do. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see this part.
Well, luckily, I mean, I try to keep myself busy, so I'm updating it all the time because, you know, I do those movie reviews every week, so it's always a new movie review up there that I do with John Basedow. And then, like, for example, this week I'm on the cover of Equanimity magazine. So, Anonymity. Yeah, nobody knows I'm on the cover. There you go. Equanimity magazine. And then I have the whole thing about talking about the you know, the new reality show I'm in, Ladies of the Pulpit, which, you know, the fact
yes,
that I'm an ordained minister.
Yes, and Fran and I are both ministers in the Universal Life Church.
I know, isn't that? That's just too funny. Well, yeah, I got to tell you something, Nancy. That's really funny. So I'm on the, you know, they're doing the first taping of the show. I'm out in Dallas, right? And you know, I'm joking around because, you know, look, I'm the white girl. And, you know, they're all the, you know, women of color. And I go, well, I can't even say I'm adding the color to the show. I'm adding the lack of color to the show. And, you know. So
that's right. You're the absence of all color.
I'm the absence of color, although I am slightly dark brown. But anyway, but so I'm on the show and we're joking around. And then they have us, you know, they have the red carpet event that we're doing with Alex Haley's sister, I think it was. So she's there. And, you know, then they have Doggy Snoop Dogg's mom, which is now, what is he called? Snoopy Lion, because he, whatever, had an epiphany. Yeah, so she's on the show. And then, so they have a schedule to do a gospel show, a radio show. So there's the five cast women, and they're there. And so the host says, okay, so each of you, I want you to mention the name of your church. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, here we go. So first lady says her church is good. Second lady comes up to me, and I went, my church is the Church of Humor and Hope. And
oh, I love
goes,
it.
Is that a real church? I go, that is the Fran Capo church.
I like that.
I said, but here's the deal. I said, I do speak, and this is true. You know, I've actually married people, and I'm not talking about my ex-husbands. I've actually married people, and I've spoken at Buddhist temples. I've spoken in interdenominational places where my audience literally was rabbis and ministers and high African priestesses. So, I mean, I actually have done those things, you know, and I, you know, have done, I broke the record doing the 91st Psalm, you know, so I have all these different things. And I said that I don't have a church necessarily that people come to, but what I do have.
It's a traveling church.
Exactly. That's, I am a traveling church.
There you go. Well, you don't have to have a church because you're a traveling minister.
That exactly. Better than a traveling minstrel, but I'm a traveling minister. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, Fran, it's been great. You got to come back again. Everyone, www.francapo.com. And
tell me when you get on my show on Monday, let me know if you're from Nancy's show, because then we can plug Nancy's show, too.
There we go. And as we're winding down, I got to play two things. George Benz.
All right, you go do your do thing. I'll head out.
Fran Capo, everyone, get those. Mayumi, get her comedy book. Can she get it on Amazon, or does she get it at your site?
It goes through my website.
It goes to your website. If she's in Australia, can she still get it?
Absolutely. She has to give me an address, and I just mail it to her.
There you go, Mayumi, and it's not expensive. And you too, Big Mensch, my new follower here, and let me plug it. All right, Fran, I'm going to say
all
goodbye
right,
here. Goodbye, Fran Capo.
All right, love you. Bye.
Bye. What a delight. Always great having Fran Capo. Boy. All right. Order those books, people, everybody. The Crow and Moore Show, how are you there? George Bencher, today at 4 p.m. Big mach. Post when your show is. I got to scroll. Everybody repost your shows right now so I can go and find you again. The Wacko Bob Show. Definitely join Fran. And I want to get in. I got a last minute. What do we got here? Where is it? I think you're at the bottom of my page. All right. In my last minutes, I want to get Karina K. Long Way to Heaven. Are you in the UK, Karina? I'm going to play your song. Okay. Did I leave anybody out? Mayumi, I love you. Get that comedy going. Fast Eddie, love you too. T.L. Walker, you're always the best. Richard B. Smart, you sure are. So, Mayumi and Richard, you two Aussies from down under there. Okay, here's Karina. Let's hear her song. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can get that at vibedeck.com, Flaming Hearts Records. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. Great guest, the Wacko Bob Show, every day at 10 a.m. Richard B. Smart and Fast Eddie, love those boys. Kelly Bennett, welcome to the house. And T.L. Walker, always a pleasure having you. Mayumi, get that comedy going. Get Fran's book today. If you put it off, nothing happens. All right, everyone. This is Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. That's Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio on Facebook. All right. Thank you all. Love you all. Have a great rest of your day. And Fran Capo, www.francapo.com. Boom.